There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning to this Thursday edition of the podcast. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners. Those of you up here in the state of Maine, some of you are new listeners, let us know that you're going to tune into the podcast. Folks that have listened for the last 2+ years, we certainly are thankful for each and every one of you. Thankful for our chapel students, homeschoolers, and others that listen. And we're going to be in the state of Maine here for a couple of more days. We certainly thank the Lord for the good meeting at South Liberty Baptist Church and those from other churches that attended. It was a blessing to see some of the brethren from the area, those from Dover Foxcroft, where we'll be tonight at 6 p.m. It was good to see many of the folks come down for the service as well as others. We've added a service since we were last recording for the podcast. At 6 p.m. this coming Saturday, we'll be at the Second Baptist Church of Palermo, Maine. And we appreciate Brother Josh Barnes, appreciate the invitation to come. And they have a Saturday night youth meeting. And we're going to add to that and just kick off the revival. He'll have Pastor Artie Dean starting on Sunday. And so we agreed to kick it off on Saturday night, 6 o'clock. If you're in the area, I'd love to have you come. You'd certainly be welcome to attend the services. Then Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we'll be doing Sunday school and church. And that's down the coast at the Tremont Baptist Church. And that's there in the little town of Seal Cove in the village of Tremont. And so we certainly look forward to those services. And Lord willing, the McVeighs will be heading home and have just a short break before we continue on heading out to the west. And so I just ask you to pray for us. Pray that God will just give us direction, give us wisdom, give us understanding. Continue to help us in the book of Hebrews. I need to get well ahead before we head to Oklahoma, and so I'm going to try to be recording as much as I can, and so I probably won't be up to date with the affairs of this world and the affairs of this life, and it's possible there'll be podcasts out there some of you will be listening to, but all are already be gone. So if that's the case, we just thank the Lord that He's returned. Thank the Lord that He's come. If I go by way of the grave, just rejoice in the goodness of God. Just rejoice that God has called me home. And I certainly look forward to that. Thank God for that day when the Lord comes and either gets us, collects us, one way or the other, translates us. But also, my friend, that day of our death, it is better than the day of one's birth. If you know the Lord, it's a marvelous day. It's a wonderful day. And we certainly got folks we know right now, even on their deathbed. We know several folks right now who have family that have been called in. They're just not well. And we certainly rejoice that some of them are saved. Some of them are not saved. And yet that decision was made a long time ago for most folks. I pray you've made that right decision. I pray you've made your calling and election sure in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're back in Hebrews 10. I'm going to try to close out this chapter today. And I'm going to start where we left off in verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. This is the promise of God. These are the things that the Lord has shown us. He is the venger of all men and of all things. And if we sin willfully, and if we go back and we trod underfoot the Son of God, count the blood of the covenant, wherewith we're sanctified an unholy thing, would you despite the Spirit of grace? Can I say to you, we can expect a recompense from God Himself. It's also why He judges whoremongers and adulterers. God said He would judge them. The fornicator, the covetous, the idolater, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. We also understand that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And so we understand that God's judgment is for those that sin. God's judgment is for those that go against Him. God's judgment is for those that are disobedient to the Word of God, disobedient to the heavenly calling. They've been washed, they've been cleansed, they've been made clean in Jesus Christ, and yet they counted that an unholy thing. They did not consider God first and foremost in their life. And so the vengeance belongeth to Him. He's going to recompense. The Lord is going to judge His people. You are not going to get away with sin. God is going to judge. I've seen folks that have gone down to the by way of the grave. They've said, I'm under the judgment and the wrath of God. I knew a man who specialized in hospital visits. He said, I'm under the judgment of God for disobedience in my life. He could not reconcile what he had done. He could not change what he had done. But time and time again, he would say to me, Brother Tim, pray for me. I'm under the judgment of God. I know I have publicly and privately testified in my own life. There was a time my wife lost a baby, and she lost after 3 months. She carried that baby, and I bear the weight and the burden of that loss. Although, however, it will be great gain to us someday, and we give God the glory when we see him one day, and we'll give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. But I believe it's because of the sin of his father. And I have bore that responsibility. I have bore that to my own shame, to my own hurt, to my own sorrow, the many sleepless nights, the nights that we've shed tears, the nights that we have wept. I have that understanding because God has revealed that to me. God has showed that to me. And that judgment, you're not going to get away with sin. You're not going to get away with living that life you once lived. You're not going to go back and try to live in the hog pen. Not when you've been washed, not when you've been sanctified, not when you've been cleansed by the blood. And my friend, God is going to recompense these things. He goes on and tells us, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it is a fearful thing. A friend of mine recently preaching at the house had made the statement. And he said, if you are depressed, God did that to you. And then he said, if you're miserable in your life, God has done that to you. Do you realize a lot of the physical affliction is God telling us, listen, I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to correct you. You name the name of Christ. You're not going to get away with sin. You're not going to get away with your bitterness. You're not going to get away with chastising God's people and abusing God's people and taking advantage of the word of God. You're not going to get away without their living ungodly and unholy and unclean. And you're not going to get away with taking the Lord's table and have unrighteousness in your life. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you are not going to take the Lord's table without some kind of recompense of that error. And that's why it's a fearful thing. He said, many among you are sick, some even sleep. And so we know that a lot of sickness, those that perpetually, and the doctors, and the surgeons, and the hospital, they need to look at these things. And if it's you, friend, you need to look at these things. Lord, is this you? Is this your hand upon me? I know most would say, well, I'm just going through a great time of testing. And it may be that God is testing you, but you also might be going a great time of judgment. And you need to understand and know for certain. And my friend, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. He tells us that. And my friend, I know there's others that have died because they've taken the cup unworthily. I've had people testify to me. God's hand is upon me because of my sin. I had a man told me years ago, he said, I am going to die because I was out of sorts with God. And sure enough, within 8-9 months, he was gone. And we see that time and time again, but folks just don't want to be honest with God. They do not believe how fearful it is to fall in the hands of the living God. I myself have a fear of God. There are things that I'll toe the line sometimes, and God will put fear into my heart in the wee hours, in the midnight hours, and sometimes he'll wake me in the morning. I'll put that fear in my heart because he is a fearful God. He is the living God. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. There was a time when you first got saved, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Why? Because God would lay those afflictions upon you, allow those afflictions upon you. They were chastening. They were for your profit. They were for your benefit. And God did that to you to help get you right, keep you right, to show you the way that you're going to walk in. So remember those days. Remember when God would do that. Now again, he's writing to the Hebrews here. So let me clarify, because verse 33 really deals with them. He said, partially whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. And so again, they were greatly afflicted. Well, they're in bonds and imprisonment. Many of them were just ostracized by their family. They were cut off from their family. They were pushed out, forced to leave their homes, forced to leave their cities, forced to leave their houses. They were made a gazing stock. Others looked upon them. They shake the head. They wagged the head. Why? Because they've been born of God. They professed the new birth. Everything had changed. He said, why you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds. and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So again, they would take away from them. They would rob them. They would steal. They'd take their lands. They'd take their vineyards. They'd take their homes. There are still religious areas in this world where they will do that if somebody gets born of God. They'll take their homes away. There are so-called Christian sects and Christian religions that the parents would gladly take the inheritance from the children. They would take the lands from the children. They would take all that they've labored for, worked for. The church, so-called, would take lands away from them. And they would do this thinking they're doing God's service, just like so-called Christians. And I do say so-called. You got Zwingli and Calvin and Knox and others of yesteryear, the Protestants and the Reformers and the Reformation. And they would persecute the church. They would persecute those that believed in the new birth. They would take them out in Lake Geneva and cut a hole in the ice and throw their living bodies into that hole in the ice, let the lake freeze around them, and the families have to wait till spring to go get them out of the lake. And they would do this thing, and they were doing God a service. Why? Because if you didn't bow down to the Protestant church in those days, you didn't bow down to infant baptism, didn't bow down to their whims and their desires, my friend, they would persecute the church of God. And we don't see that today. We don't see that much today. Not in the United States. Why? Because we have so much. And if your lands are taken away, go get on welfare. And if you run out of food, go get on welfare. And if you, you know, find yourself in great affliction physically, just go ahead and file a Social Security claim. They'll still take care of you. The government will give you a place to live. They'll put food on your table. And therefore, we don't see that much. But there's other parts of this world, they still are going to see the spoiling of their goods. And he said, you endure this because you know. Then in heaven, a better and enduring substance. That's what awaits us. There's going to be so much more. There's going to be treasure in heaven where moth does not corrupt, rust does not corrupt, thieves do not break through and steal. That's what he's speaking of. We don't worry about the things that are taken from us in this life and the things that are taken by ill gain today and the thievery that takes place. But yet, that early church, if they profess Christ, they'd lose all things. They'd lose all his inheritance. And he said, you had compassion on me. Thank God they had compassion of me and my bonds. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't be overthrown when you suffer loss. Don't be overthrown when the God of this world causes you to suffer loss, because you know that your treasure is not on earth. You were enlightened. You tasted the heavenly gift. God has shown you his dear son. And that is the reward that we're looking for on earth, because there is a greater reward that's coming in heaven. And folks so think that monetary gain, they think that providence, they think that all the affairs of this life, and they think that money is a reward from God. No, the reward is yet to come. The reward is yet to be. The reward is yet to be seen. You know, the only reward God has promised us in this life, he said that reward is that we would know his dear son, that we would see Jesus Christ, that we would know Jesus Christ. If we could forsake all these things that have been so coveted after, and we so covet after, and we so desire monetary gain, personal gain, and if we could just get over those things and realize what God has done and what God is doing and how God has given us so much more than what this world has offered, but yet we still look at this world's goods. We still look at those that prosper in this world with bitterness and with envy, and we have strife with them because all we see is their prosperity, not realize that in Christ we have so much more than what they have. They have a big truck, but we have treasure laid up in Jesus Christ. They might have a boat, and they might have an RV, and they might have a big house, but we have treasure. Listen, my friend, this treasure in earthly vessels is so much more than the treasures of this world. Don't lose sight of that. Don't get overthrown with the affairs of this life. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. When God's done with you doing his will, you'll receive a promise if you're saved. And my friend, you must do the will of God. You must be in the will of God and do the will of God. David served his generation, the word of God said, by the will of God. You need to serve your generation. It's not about what you have. It's about what you give. It's not about what you gain. It's about how much you put out. It's not about how prosperous you are. It's about what you've done for others in the name of Jesus Christ. Serve in your own generation by the will of God. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Doctrinal error. People say, well, If the Lord doesn't tarry, oh, he's not going to tarry. Don't worry about that. Amen. He is not going to tarry. But the word of God said this, he shall come. That's a promise. That's an absolute. Why? It's the Lord himself speaking. And he will come. Why? It's his desire to come. It is the perfect will of God that he come and deliver those who are under the bondage, my friend, of the affairs of this life, the bondage of great affliction, the bondage of the loss of all things. He's going to come and give them relief and they'll ever be with the Lord. Those that are bedridden, those that suffer affliction, those that are being persecuted, those that are being mocked and scoffed and cursed for his name's sake, he's going to give them great relief in that day. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And I've known many that have drawn back. I've known many who've tasted. I've known many who've seen, many who have participated, many who've come and they've drank at the fountain and they've turned away from, they've drawn back. He said, but we have not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we don't go back into perdition. We don't go back into our former religion. We don't go back into our former ways. No, we believe to the saving of the soul. And the evidence of that belief is that we continue in the things of God. The evidence of that belief is we continue to walk with God, continue to seek God, continue to find the will of God. It's the evidence that we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow. We'll be in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelist.com. And use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania. 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing.